Continuing mitzvah Reish Nun Aleph 251, not to cut the payas, the corners of the head. We saw this difference of opinion between the Rambam, who brings a interesting tradition that he, from his teachers, that it's not the prohibition. He has a lot of coolness about the payas. First of all, he holds that you're allowed to use a scissors to cut down the payas very short. It's just you're not allowed to use a razor, which we know is known and loved from the beard, which we'll get to in a few minutes. And he holds it's not the entire area of this from, in other words, remember, you draw an imaginary hairline from the corner of your forehead to the back of your ear, and that whole area is called the payas. So the Rambam says you don't have to not cut the entire area, you just have to leave 40 hairs not being cut by a razor, which is a huge, huge kula. Oh. So the most poskim hold b'chumra in both directions. I'm saying that the way the accepted halacha is the chumra in both directions. That is the entire area that I just specified that you're not allowed to cut very short. And it's even if you don't use a razor, you're not allowed to cut the payas very short, even with scissors. The whole thing about the only thing being prohibited is a razor, whereas scissors, even if you cut very short, is allowed, is only by the beard. By the payas, you're not allowed to cut them off completely. Even with scissors, there has to be a certain length of recognizable hair left on the payas. The prohibition of cutting the corner of your head only applies to males. Why? But the prohibition of cutting the payas does not apply to females, whether they did the cutting. In other words, if they give a haircut, including the payas, to a man, so the man is culpable, not the woman. Again, we found out that we learned last time that the man is only chayiv malkus if he helps the barber, like turning his head in the right direction, putting the payas there, because it has to be in order to get malkus, you need to do a maisa. It has to be a lav sheish ba maisa. It needs to have an action. But if he just sits there, he's over the lav, but he's not. He can't get the penalty of malkus because he didn't. He didn't move his head in the right direction, whatever. So, and the woman also does not get the penalty of Malkus, who's giving the haircut, because she's not relevant to this mitzvah. The Chachamim say, Maseches Kiddushin, Lo Sakifu Pa'as Roshchem, Velo Sashchis Eis Pa'as Zikonecha. So the Pasuk says, in one breath, that you're not allowed to round off the corners of your head, and you're not allowed to destroy the corner of your beard. So it says that it has to be this, both prohibitions have to be relevant in one person in order for either one to be relevant. Kol sheyeshno beval tashchish, yeshno beval takif. So in other words, if you have to be, it has to be relevant to you that you're not allowed to destroy the corner of your beard in order to be relevant the mitzvah, that you're not allowed to round off the corner of your head either. And because women normally don't have beards, although it's possible for a woman to grow facial hair, since it's not a normal feature of a woman, to have a full beard, certainly, a little facial hair, a little bit, maybe, but to have a full beard is not a regular feature of a woman. So therefore, the prohibition of cutting the corner of the beard does not apply to her, and therefore the prohibition of cutting the payas does not apply to her either. That means even if a woman does have an abundance of facial hair, and she's probably going to want to get rid of it, so this is before the days of these newfangled laser treatments, electrolysis, whatever fancy things that they do nowadays that have permanent hair removal, perhaps. Slightly more permanent hair removal. So if she wants to take a straight razor and cut off her facial hair, even if it happens to be in an area that's considered the corner, we'll discuss what that is when we get to the next mitzvah. What's the corner of the beard? She is perfectly permissible to use a razor, a straight razor, to cut off her facial hair wherever it may be. Yeah. So therefore, a woman is allowed to remove her payas, the corners of her head hair, which most women do have hair in these this area, and she should be allowed to use a razor, even according to the Rambam, she should be allowed to use scissors as short as she wants, and of course this has to be the case, because we know that obviously that minhag, custom, practice, whatever, of certain communities, of certain Jewish communities, that the women shave their heads, generally once a month before they go to the mikveh, then that is obviously predicated on the assumption that women are allowed to shave their pants, because otherwise they wouldn't be allowed to shave the entire heads at all. When the Sama Rebbe came to America, he was pushing this very much. He thought this was very important, especially in America, that we have to restore. Even in Europe, it wasn't. Even in the area of Samar, it was only practiced by the most, you know, serious, stringent chassidim. But he thought that it should become a universal practice amongst his followers in America, because he thought it was important to restore what he considered to be the real, original chassidish practices, and go back to a purer time in America, because the Holocaust, first of all, you have to make sure you have to restore what the glory of what once was, and undo what he viewed as the laxities of before the war. And also because in America the assimilation is so strong, so you need stronger elements against it.
Well, there's actually another factor, which is that Satmar itself was a quite small Hasidus, you know, in Hungary, comparatively.
I mean, Satmar wasn't really a Hasidus at all.
Hadn't was, okay, yeah. Right. Satmar was, yeah. Was not, okay, exactly.
And but he was, in Europe, he was a Satmar Aruv, not the Satmar.
Right, exactly.
Not the
Satmar. Satmar, Satmar Aruv, not
right, right, right. He wasn't
and
the Satmar Aruv.
What happened then was is that, you know, that in the States, a lot of survivors of many different, you know, groups, sort of, you know, coalesced around him, so a lot of them were not Satmar, you know.
Anything. Right, so when he was in Satmar, so he had a few, he was the rabbi of the town, so he had followers in that town who could be considered Hasidim, and they were followers who were not Hasidim, who accepted him, who were regular Ashkenazi Jews, and they accepted his authority as the rabbi of the town. Mm-hmm. Didn't necessarily do all the Hasidish practices. The rabbi, the Satmar, the rabbi, Ruv, whatever, did not insist that his, I mean, in his community it was Hasidish, so obviously most people did Hasidish things, but he was very, it was more than most Chassidish rebbes, he was totally, totally at peace with the idea of people keeping regular Ashkenazi nusach and practices, assuming they adhered to certain, you know, standards that he imposed. But he had no problem whatsoever with people keeping regular Ashkenazi Judaism. Yeah.
He insists. Let me get this clear.
I mean, Svardim too. Svardim too. I'm just saying, with his followers per se, he didn't have any issues.
Again, he found a lot of people came to him
absolutely,
who were from very different kinds of backgrounds.
Because even in Europe, he was viewed as extreme, the most pure, the most... the point is that you shave your head right before you go to the mikveh, because it eliminates the possibility of chatzitzos and the hair being tangled, etc. And of course, it eliminates the possibility of any hair floating to the top of the mikveh, which invalidates the entire immersion. Obviously, that's what we have a mikveh lady for. The mikveh lady is supposed to watch to make sure all the hair goes under the water, but I guess in a lot of times in Europe, they didn't have as good lighting as we have nowadays in the mikveh, so it was hard to see. So if a woman was really, really frum and she wanted to make sure there was no shiloh whatsoever about her hair going under, so she had to shave it off.
Women did not shave their heads for, you know, 1,000 or so years.
So it's obvious that in the times of the Gemara, even the Samar Ruv agrees that in the times of the Gemara, that it talks all over about women having long hair. That's not, it's not a question whatsoever. Anyway, so the point, in the most recent issue of Chakira, where I had my article, there was an article in the Hebrew section, which is debunking the claim that Satmar Rav and his crew had, which was somehow that the original Ashkenazi Jewish practice was that women shaved their heads. Obviously, in times of Gemara, they didn't, but the Ashkenazi community several hundred years ago, there was a universal practice that all the women accepted on themselves that they're going to shave their heads before the mikveh to obviate the problem of chatzitzos in the hair and the hair going under the water, and also obviously makes it easier to cover completely if you don't have long hair that might stick out of your covering. So they said they're going to accept on their practice this. So there was Satmar Rav. Their narrative was that they were restoring the original practice of universal practice of Ashkenazi women. So he debunks that. He said that's just not true. That was a local practice in very certain limited locales where the women accepted this for whatever reason. It wasn't even all the women in those places for the most part. There was not anything approaching this, and there's absolutely no reason whatsoever. Not that most of us needed convincing, but that there's absolutely no reason whatsoever if that's not your practice to go back to that for whatever reason.
So
yeah,
Black Kosher, which was like a very small group of Hasidim who were, you know, outside Sephardim, obviously, among Ashkenazim.
Correct,
the
yeah.
Tiny group, you know, who held by Glot, you know, that is a homer, and then that got, you know.
Right, that's true. They were, in terms as a communal thing, so Glot Kosher was pretty small in Europe. There were only certain communities in Hungary that demanded that things had to be Glot kosher, but even in the rest of the Ashkenazi community, they were always known that there were certain individuals who were makbid on glot, as you know, the most pious people, the Vilna Gaon, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, for example. It says that they were makbid on glot kosher, that the lungs should be completely smooth without any adhesions. But you're right, it was not the normative Ashkenazi practice at all. But that at least there was a strain, there was a knowledge that that the Sephardi Rishonim were very against non-glot, and there was a knowledge that there was throughout all the generations there were a few pious people who are makbid on God. Just as the make it the thing of the whole community, yes, that's a new thing. But here, with the women cutting their hair, it's for sure completely only a new thing in certain communities, not a chumrah. Not a chumrah. If anything, it's a kula. The women are going to be less attracted to their husbands. It's also shaila begedish, that if it's not the, I mean, in those communities, it's not begedish because all the women do it. But when it first started, maybe it's begedish because that's a men's hairstyle to cut your hair so short.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's not a chumrah. Glatt kosher is a chumrah. That's for sure was always recognized as a chumrah. Umikol mako. So obviously, at least the payas is not. That's not a problem. Also the payas is not. Also the attractiveness. Also the begadish. So maybe it is a problem. But also the payas is not a problem. Fine. Umikol mako. Also lehen legalea chazachar. But nevertheless, a woman is not allowed to cut the payas of a man. Vafilu katan, even someone who is under the age of bar mitzvah. The ha'avodim. This is a very interesting sugya. What about slaves? Afal pi shehem begeder hanoshim bahar b'mitzvos bezo chayovim gam bezeh hol v'yesh lahem zakon. So normally we hold that slaves and women have the same mitzvos applicable to them, right? They're a chayov in all mitzvos lo saseh, and they're exempt from mitzvos saseh shazman grama, from time-bound positive commandments. Now this is a mitzvos lo saseh, right? This is a negative commandment. It's just the women are exempt because they don't have beards. So for that's why the Sefer Chinuch says so that's for slaves, for male slaves, so they are chayev, they're not allowed to cut their payas, and they're not allowed to cut to shave their beards, because that's a regular vis-a-vis them, it's a regular losase. Of course they're a chayev, even though normally we say women and slaves are the same regarding mitzvos. Here, since there's a special reason that women that applies to women and not to slaves, so therefore the slaves are chayev. Betumtum vandrogino sareyam safik. And if someone of uncertain gender or has both genders, then they're a suffik. So they're not allowed to cut their payas because they're a suffik. There's a doubt. So suffik the rice of the chumrah. We have to go stringently in a matter of a doubt on a biblical level. But nevertheless, they wouldn't receive the penalty of lashes, since there is some doubt involved, and you don't give the penalty of lashes when there is a doubt. However, you should know that not everybody agrees with this. But some say that slaves are in fact exempt from the prohibition of cutting their payas and from shaving their beards, because no, they're completely the same as women in all respects. The Gemara brings two reasons why slaves might be exempt and why they might be chayev. One is that women are exempt from the mitzvah of payas and from cutting and shaving the beards. One is that since the reason the Sefer Chinuch gave, that since they're not relevant to the mitzvah of shaving the beards is not relevant to them, so therefore neither is the mitzvah of payas. But another reason that the Gemara gives is that it says by the Kohanim, when the Kohanim it repeats that they're not allowed to shave the beards in payas, so it says speak to the Bnei Aaron. And they shouldn't cut their beards and payas. And since it says over there, B'nai Aaron, so then it says it's exempt, for women are exempt because they're not included in B'nai Aaron, the sons of Aaron, like the other mitzvahs of the Kohanim that don't apply to women, but only it doesn't apply to B'nos Aaron. So if that's the case, if that's the reason, then the reason is not because of a svara. Not a svara, but some sort of hekesh within the pasuk, that since they don't have beards, then they don't have the problem of payas also. So if the reason is not because of this, that they don't have beards, but because there's a special exemption from the Bnei Aaron, from when it mentions the prohibition vis-a-vis the Kohanim, then if that's the case, then if the women are just exempt because there's some sort of gezeras hakosov, because we learn it out from the psukim, then maybe it does, the exemption in fact does apply to slaves as well, when we say that slaves and women have the same mitzvos applicable to them. Uvegeder inyan zeh, regarding this, echtov haklal shelimdunu zichrono levracha b'mitzvos hanoshim. So I'm going to repeat the rule that our chachamim gave us regarding women's commandments. Afal b'shadarki lachos v'prad b'kol mitzvah. So I am going to mention it explicitly in each mitzvah where it's relevant, but nevertheless I'm going to give you the rule over here. Kimitoch haklal v'prad yizkirei akorei v'zehu. So since if I give you the rule and I give you all the details of the rule, so that those two things are going to encourage you, the reader, to remember it. Kol mitzvahs lo sasei shebatorah echad anoshim echad anoshim chayavim. When it's a negative commandment, thou shalt not do this, then both men and women are included. Chutz mi bal takif, u bal tashchis, u bal titami lamesim. that except for the prohibition of rounding the corners of the head and destroying the corners of the beards and not to become tamei by contact with a dead body if you happen to be a kohen. So a woman kohen, a bas kohen, does not have the prohibition not to go to a funeral to come into contact with a dead body. You go to a funeral as long as you're not under the same roof as a dead body, you don't touch it. If you're a male kohen. The whole mitzvah sasei. Or enter a cemetery, obviously, yeah.
You're not on the same roof, but they don't go to the cemetery.
Right, because if you're a cemetery, so you're standing over the grave, so you're basically the roof yourself of the graves. Fine. V'chol mitzvah sasei shazman grama noshim pituros. So any positive commandment, thou shalt do this, which is time-bound, so women are exempt. What are the exceptions? Chutz mikiddush, the requirement to recite kiddush on Shabbos. And according to most shittas, Havdalah also, because that's part of the mitzvah of Kiddush, so there are some shittas that women do not have to recite Havdalah. So the reason is because Zohar and Shomer, since there was a hekesh between Zohar and Shomer, since women have to keep Shabbos, the prohibitions of Shabbos, they have to keep the positive commandments of Shabbos as well. Matzah, that they have to eat matzah on Pesach night, Vachilas Pesach, and they have to eat the Korban Pesach. The Hakel, and they have to come, because that says Hanoshim Vanoshim Vataf. It says explicitly in the Pasuk that at the end of the Shemitah year, so on Chag HaSukkah, so you have Hakel, that all the people of Israel come to hear the Torah. And that includes women. V'simcha. And they have to eat the Korban Simcha on Yantif, on holidays. V'heim Amru Gamkein She'ein Lemeidin Min HaKlolos. Now you don't learn out from general rules. Afilu b'makom shnamar b'en chutz. It's a famous statement in the Gemara that if it states a general rule, so it doesn't necessarily mean that it applies without exception in all cases. Even if it says this is the rule except for X, Y, and Z, so it seems to be detailing all the possible applications of the rule. Nevertheless, not necessarily. We can't take it for granted that it's absolutely that's absolutely comprehensive. The discussion of this rule. So people like to keep things short. So when people come up with rules, they're trying to keep things as short as possible and try to keep things easy to remember as possible. So therefore, they don't necessarily concern themselves if there are a couple exceptions that they don't mention, just in order to make things easy to understand and easy to remember. If you chop off one of your payas, so again, according to the Rambam, you need to cut everything, including the 40 hairs, with a razor, and according to the other sheet, it's not to cut off any of it, even with scissors. So if you do both sides, then you have two separate sets of lashes. The translator says the name of the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvos. So you can say, why don't you count it as two mitzvahs, given that you get two sets of lashes if you violate it, one for each of the payas, so why not count it as two mitzvahs? They're under the rubric of one statement, one negative statement, one prohibition. Then if it had said, don't cut your left payah and don't cut your right payah, then you would have counted it as two separate mitzvahs. And then the Chazal said that you have separate Malkios for the two separate sides, and they were mentioned explicitly in the Torah, the two separate sides, then you could say they would be two separate mitzvos, but in this case, no. It's not literally one word, but one phrase. Or pass or shem. The Rambam says that in terms of the counting of the mitzvos, since it's all one word, so our one phrase, so our tradition is that this includes two separate sides of the head, and you were liable on each one independently, but it doesn't mean that you count the two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah can include, it's not a lav shebe klolos. Lav shebe klolos is when it includes two different things completely. But here are the two facets of the mitzvah, then it doesn't mean necessarily that they should be counted as two separate mitzvahs. Mitzvah Reishnun Beis, Shelo Lahashkis Pa'as Zokan, not to destroy the corner of the beard. Shelo Legaleach Pa'as HaZokan, not to shave the corner of the beard. Shenemar, Velo Sashchis Eis Pa'as Zekanecha, you shall not destroy the corner of your beard. V'chamesh Peos Yeshba Bazokan, the Mishnah in Mako says there are five Peos, there are five corners of the beard. Uvechol achas yeshba chiyuv malchus afilu natalin kulin keechod v'asra achas. The same thing as the peos, that you're liable for each one independently. Each of the two peos, you're liable for each of the five corners of the beard independently. So that's why you have a lot of times. This is not, Baruch Hashem, is not so common anymore. But you had when beard being beardless came into style. So you had a lot of Jews that probably didn't think about this for hundreds of years because all the Jews had beards. But when they first started, it became in fashion to cut out, to shave. Then a lot of Jews were shaving with a razor. So you see a lot of tshuvas. One of the most common things when it discusses the common averus of the Jewish people, they don't even realize what they're doing, is that they shave with a razor. It comes up in...
Was it in the 18th century it would be?
I was in the 19th century. And the 20th century.
Yeah. No, of course.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I would say 19th century.
Before electric shavers were...
Shaving machines were only invented in the late 19th century. Electric shavers are later even than that. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss that in a minute. So before that was an option, even after it was, and people didn't realize there was a difference maybe, was that sometimes people would shave with a razor. So when all the exhortations trying to convince people to stop shaving with a razor is that you're chayav five malchios if you shave with a razor. You're liable five times lashes if you do such a thing. It also comes up regarding edus, that there were people who kept Shabbos, they kept kashrus, and they seemed to be regular Orthodox Jews in the community, but they didn't have beards. And, you know, you look people, you know, so they once had guests and they opened the medicine cabinet, you know, like the stereotypical Snoopy guest. And they opened the medicine cabinet, and lo and behold, they saw a stray razor. It turned out this person was actually shaving with a straight razor. So does that passel the person for edus or not? So that depends. So in terms of, we know that if you violate a negative commandment, so that makes you, that's a deraisa negative commandment, that passels you for edus on, for being a witness on a deraisa level, on a biblical level. So the question is, this does not apply if it's something that people don't even realize is a problem. So all Jews know you're not allowed to eat pork, right? So a Jew eats pork, so he's not allowed to be an aid. Question is, if people don't even, it doesn't even occur to people that it's an isser, then it doesn't passel you for edus. That's why a lot of times, at least b'di'evet, l'chatchila, it's not right to take such a person as an aid, but a person served as an aid, so b'di'evet, then it would be okay. But I don't know if this applies anymore. It probably doesn't apply. Nowadays, every Orthodox Jew knows that that's also to shave with a razor. So, ve'elohim, what are the five corners of the beard in the opinion of the Sefer HaChinuch following the Rambam? Lechi ho'elyon ve'atachton mi'amin, ve'elyon ve'atachton mi'smol, hare arba, v'shibolas hazokan, v'mokom chibra l'chaim, l'mata, grabolas monton. French, yeah. V'hare chamisha. That's five. So according to the Sefer HaChinuch, it's phrased in a very funny way. He said the upper...
Spanish? Wait a second.
His dialect of Spanish, let's see. If he lived in Barcelona, right? So Barcelona was Catalan, or I don't know what this was, dialect that was similar to Catalan in those days. So it's... I don't know how to say it in Catalan, but it was somewhere... Not necessarily French, not necessarily Spanish. Castilian.
Castilian is spoken in Argentina nowadays. That's the Castilian dialect.
Right, sure, that's Spanish. That's what we call Spanish nowadays, Castilian dialect, as opposed to... there were many other dialects of Spanish in the Middle Ages, but one of them won out, except in certain areas where they speak other languages. Okay, but so he says it's the upper jaw and the lower jaw and the chin, which they call the sheath of the beard, because I guess, you know, you think of, you know, like the pharaohs in Egypt, you know, just goes straight down. I guess that's why it's called Shibolas HaZakan. So it's interesting because the Rambam says, he's quoting the Rambam, he doesn't quote the whole Lashon of the Rambam here, but he follows the Rambam Shita. The Rambam says that the Torah asked us to shave the beard, and there are five corners in the beard. The upper jaw and the lower jaw and the chin. Mm-hmm. Those aren't corners. He doesn't say points.
Yeah.
He says swaths.
Yeah,
which is very interesting. So it could be that the Rambam understands that really what the Torah means is you're not allowed to shave your beard at all. And there are five sides of the beard: upper jaw, lower jaw, and chin. So that's very interesting. That's not the understanding of most authorities. Most authorities take it to mean specific points, meaning usually the place where the payus end, the top of the bureau of the payus end, and the corner of the jaw, you know, by the neck over here, and of course the bottom over here. Some hold slightly different shittas, maybe the sides of the chin. Whatever it is, the different shittas about exactly what the corners of the beard are, but it could be that according to Rambam, at least, it really just means the entire beard, which just has five facets to it. According to the mass majority of shittas, you know, wouldn't include here, like the cheeks, right, yeah. Or underneath. Well, according to one shita, the Adam's apple is one of the payas of the beard.
No.
That's a das yachid. Most hold that it means the actual beard that's actually on the face. The Loshon HaMishnah, the Mishnah says, Val HaZokon Chomesh, your five malkios, five lashes, sets of lashes when it comes to the beard, Shtayim Mikan, or Shtayim Mikan Vachas Milmatan, two on each side and one on the bottom. So the Mishnah doesn't explain exactly what it is. That's why there's so many shitas of exactly what these five corners are. So the Mishnah doesn't explain what it is, so you have a lot of freedom of interpretation. Not that they're making it up, but they're trying to best understand what the Mishnah means. And you have different shitas. So Chosav HaMatik B'Shem HaRambam Zichron HaBracha Uva HaManiya B'Zeh B'Eilo HaMilos. Why does the Torah express itself in this manner? V'lo Sashchis Espeaz Zekanecha. You shall not destroy the corner of your beard. Below Amar, lo sashchis kanecha, don't destroy your beard. Avobisha koli kari zakan. Your tzalomar, so that sounds very much like we were saying before. That means the whole thing. It really means, the Torah really means you shouldn't shave anything. Any part of the main part of the beard, at least, the main body of the beard. Your tzalomar, bezeh, shelo yisigaleach afilu pea achas mikla zakan. It means you shouldn't even shave part of it. You shouldn't give yourself a goatee. You might, if it just says don't destroy the beard, you might think that it means just don't destroy the entire beard. Don't, but if you leave something that looks like a beard, so then it's okay. So no. The Lokin Al-Khalachas Malchus, the Torah wants people to have full beards. Mm-hmm. So, it's interesting, because a lot of,
Broyers and so on, right?
Right.
Love Broyer.
At a certain point in his life, at different stages in his life, he had different types of beards, a lot of, in this Germany, certainly before the war, it was only, and we'll discuss the permissibility of how to shave in a few minutes, the populace, but it was only the more right-wing rabbis who would have had beards in Germany in before the war, and they didn't always have full beards even. Rav Soloveitchik himself, not that he was from Germany, but he spent a good deal of time living in Germany, and when he first came to America, for many years he didn't have a full beard, he just had a goatee. But yeah, I'm sure they shaved the rest in what they considered to be a permissible manner, but it's just interesting that if you're trying to emphasize that you're doing what the Torah says and you're growing a beard as opposed to shaving, even if you're there is a way to get out of it. But like we said in the payas, that the reason people have long payas, not because it's halachically required, because emphasizing, oh, payas, the Torah says we should grow payas, so we're going to do it right. We're going to grow it long. So the same thing, the Jewish tzura, the way a Jew traditionally looked was to have a beard, because it's the spirit of the law is that people should have beards, yeah?
Now, I know that Lubavitch is very strong in saying you shouldn't, you know, touch single hair or your chin, mm-hmm. chin. You know, you don't
right.
go trim your beard at all or something like that.
So a lot of Hasidim claim al pi Kabbalah, al pi the Arizal, that one should not trim one's beard at all. One should not cut any of the hairs. Some people don't even touch their beards at all for fear that they might pluck a hair out. So that's mutter. You're allowed to use tweezers to pluck out the hairs of your beard, mm-hmm. even. But they feel that since Al Pi Kabbalah, we mentioned last time this concept, mm-hmm. that the beard and payas are midas harachamim, they represent mercy, and the hair of the top of the head represents din, so therefore you want to keep it as long as possible. You don't want to remove it. This is obviously not halachically required by any means. Mm-hmm. And even within Kabbalah, it's not clear at all that this is in fact the case. I was reading an article about it recently, I don't remember where, but that it's not clear that even according to Kabbalah, this is the case. If you look, for example, Sfardi Mikubalim, they're also very into the Arizal, very into Kabbalah, that not all of them had very long beards, and they didn't have long payas. So obviously they didn't feel that this was necessary. Not that they shaved completely, but they trimmed beards, and they... Yeah, Rabbi Zion Abashol, very famously, was one of the greatest Rabbanim of the 20th century, was Sfardi. He trimmed his beard. He had a shorter beard. So I was just reading also recently, so I asked him, you know, you're a great Rosh Hashiva, you're one of the biggest rabbis alive now, so you can have a little bit of a longer beard. So he said, I don't want people to listen to what I say because I have a long beard. I want them to judge my words based on their merit. Right.
Okay.
Fine. So in Germany, if you want to, in other words, according to this, So if you want to be Mekayim, the spirit of the law, you can't shave any of the main, at least the main body of the beard, as opposed to having a goatee, which was the style in certain places in the mid-20th century. Velokin al-chul al-achas malkos achas. Koachas malkos achas, fine, you receive the penalty lash of each corner. Vafilu gilchan bevas achas kulam, even if in one fell swoop you shaved off your entire beard, so that is, you still forget five malkios. Chayven aleim chamesh malkios, fine. Five different times. Mishor sheha mitzvah, what's the reason of the mitzvah? Mashikasavdu mitzvah kodemes, larchi kolinin avodazar. This is the way the Rambam presents it, that he says, it's in the Torah, it's a gzeres hakosav, just because God wants us to do it, but maybe if we try to find a reason, it's because that shaving the beard is associated with avodazara. V'zeh gam kein hayamina komri avodazara, lashchis pazakonam, that idolatrous priests would shave their beards. As we know nowadays, what's, how do you call a priest in Yiddish, a Catholic priest?
A galach. But that's actually, I believe, the question with...
Oh, yeah?
Monks.
Oh, I thought that was because they shaved. That was because they're makbid to shave their beards.
The
Ode Kasav, Vizelo Shanamatik, the translator says, Azoi, Vashir Chayev Shalo Yimnu Chamesh Peo Shebezok and Chamesh Mitzvos. You have the same questions that we had with the Peyas HaRosh, that why isn't it five separate mitzvos? V'hu Ba'avur Sheba Ha'minia B'mila Nifredes. It's one separate phrase, one separate word. Kind of the same as we explained before by the payas, that is the same. Okay. Dine ha-mitzvah, the halachos of the mitzvah, kigon ma'asha amru zichronim levracha, she'ein achiyuv ela begiluach shel tar. The Gemara says that the only thing you're not allowed to use to shave, at least on your beard, again, payas we discussed it with the machlokes, but you're not allowed to use a razor, straight razor. Shenemar lo sa, any blade, I mean. Shenemar, where the blade is rubbed against your skin to remove the hair, as opposed to, what we'll see in a minute, we'll have a scissors action. Shenemar, lo velo sashchis, you shall not destroy. Giluach sheyeshu ashchasa, davka vezeotar. One place it says, ufasikanam lo yigalechu, that's by the, in Parshas Emor, by the Kohanim. And one place, here in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, lo sashchis, espazikanachish, not destroy. So you need something that's both considered cutting, a shaving, and a destroying. So it has to have both, which is a razor. V'chein perishu zichronam levracha. Fine. V'chosav arambam zichronam levracha. V'im gilach v'misparayim pater. But if you shaved with scissors, so you're exempt from punishment. Because scissors are giluach. They're cutting. But they're not hashchasa. They don't completely destroy the hair, and that's why scissors are allowed. Maybe. Here he says scissors are exempt from punishment, which we'll see in a second. Nira midvarav de davka potterhu aval osur lasos kain. You're exempt, but you're not allowed to cut down close, very close, your hair, your beard with scissors. Be'efshe shi ha'inyan b'magaleach b'misparayim ke'en tar. It's talking if you cut your hair very, very, very close, but down to the skin level, using a scissors action instead of a shaving against taking a blade and pressing it against the skin. So if you leave any hair, then it's okay. You're allowed to trim your beard with scissors, but it's just talking about cutting your beard very close with scissors. Shneim arsham v'asafa mutter legalcho betar, but you're allowed to shave your mustache with a razor. Shein sham chashash peya klal. So there, nobody holds that there is any that the mustache is one of the payas. So you're allowed to shave the payas with a razor. Okay, so there's a lot to Sefer Chinuch said over here, and now we have to unpack it a little bit. So the Sefer Chinuch says, based on the Rambam says over here, putter, that if you shave with scissors, then you're exempt from punishment. So what does he mean? Does the Rambam mean putter aval osur, you're exempt from punishment, but you're not allowed to do it, or putter mutter, that you're exempt from punishment and you're allowed to do a lechatchila? So the Sefer Chinuch interprets it that you're exempt from punishment. So the Sefer Chinuch holds one is not allowed to cut one's beard very short, almost to the skin level, even with scissors, whereas the Kesef Mishnah, which is said by the Beis Yosef, on the Rambam, he says, no, he doesn't really mean that, because the Rambam says that you're allowed to cut the payas of your head really short with scissors. You're just not allowed to use a razor. So everybody else holds that payas are more stringent than the beard. So you're telling me the Rambam holds the beard is more stringent than payas? You're not allowed to use scissors on your beard, you're allowed to use it on your payas. Very bizarre. So he says he doesn't really mean it. He means that you're allowed to use scissors to cut the beard very short. This is how he paskins in the Shulchan Aruch. This is the normative shita, that one is allowed to use scissors on the beard. It doesn't matter how short you cut it, you're allowed to use scissors. So the question is, what about, this is a famous question. So a lot of people, a lot of Jews in history have removed their beards. So how did they do it? So first of all, there's something called a depilatory, that you can remove the hair with some sort of chemical preparation, which is allowed. That's not giluach at all. That's not scissors. That's allowed, according to everybody, to use that on your beard. There's a funny line. Rabbi Heinemann for Baltimore has an article online about electric shavers, and he mentions about the shaving powder, the shaving chemical before. He says you have to put it on your face, leave it for a few minutes, but you can't leave it on too long to make sure that it only eats away at the facial hair and not the facial skin. So this was very unpleasant to use for many reasons, but this was in fact the method of choice. If you look at yeshiva bacharim in the 19th century, or in early 20th century in Europe, so Nachsidish once, but in the Litvish yeshiva, so it was not customary for a bachar, before the age of marriage at least, to have a beard. And this was usually how they did it, was by using a powder instead of by using scissors. So more since powder was not so pleasant, there was a new invention that was the shaving machine, which originally was operated by hand, and nowadays we know is operated by electricity. How does a shaving machine, or nowadays we call it an electric shaver, work? So you have a screen, and then you have blades that turn around really fast, and the hair goes into the screen and is chopped off by the blade that's turning at that point. So the question is, does this have the din of a razor, or does this have a din of scissors? So it's totally on a chkira that some people want to say. The question is the prohibition of shaving, to use conceptual terminology, a maisa? Is it an action or is it a totsa'a? Is it a result? So if it's an action, so the way the shaver works is by, you have one thing that's stationary, they have one bladey thing that's stationary, another blade that's turning.
Or two, basically, you have two blades, as it were, that you know,
right,
they cross each other.
Right,
know,
yeah, yeah. So that's
not,
that's a scissor action.
It's a scissor action.
That's a scissor action. The hair goes in the thing, and then it's chopped off, you know, above the screen by the blade, and supposedly, the blade does not touch the skin. So if that's true, then it seems to be a scissor action. And if that's the case, if the prohibition is a maisa, that you need something, you know, the blade going clean across the skin and not some scissors chopping away at the hair, then an electric shaver would be mutter. But if the issue is a totsa'a, then we might have a problem as a result. Because the Gemara says that misparayim, that a scissors is a form of giluach. And in other words, the Gemara says that the criteria for the prohibition of shaving is it has to be giluach and it has to be hashchasa, has to be a destruction. So it says, what is that? What is a giluach sheish b'hashchasa? That's a razor. That's a razor. But does it mean that it's only a razor, like we said before, that it's the maisa, that it has to be a razor action? Or if it could be that it's a result. If it's something that's halachically considered to be giluach, to be cutting, and it results in hashchasa, which means that the hair is of the beard is completely destroyed, then maybe that's us, or maybe the Gemara doesn't mean a razor bedavka. That's just all they had in those days that could affect the giluach and the hashchasa at the same time. And when it says that misparayim ke'ein tar is mutter, that when you cut a hair with scissors, even in a razor-like fashion, in those days they didn't have the technology to use a scissors, and it was mamish, as close as a razor. What it meant is that as close as a scissors could get. Doesn't mean that you destroy the hair completely, but you could argue that with electric razor, which is for sure giluach, and lemaise could affect the hashchasa, could affect the destruction of the hair, then you could very easily argue that an electric razor could be usser. And for that reason, is another reason as well, which is that it's not so clear always that the blade, which is supposed to only touch the screen. Mm-hmm. Not clear. It's not when your face gets sucked into the razor.
It can't get sucked into the razor.
Little bits of skin.
No. Your skin cannot possibly get sucked into the razor.
I mean, it's such a tiny screen. So the idea.
If the screen, first of all, the screen is very, very fine.
Right. That's the
point.
Your
skin cannot get. You know, the skin. Scott. You know, you like.
I'm not talking about the lifting cut. I just mean that
because
of the action of the. I can't describe all the physics involved over here, but. Because of the action of the razor, you're pressing it against your skin. There could be little bits of skin that actually might end up touching a blade, which is not clear. The Chazon Ish claims, Chazon Ish was very against electric razors, so he claims that he put ink on his hand, and he took an electric razor, and he put it against his hand, and he saw that parts of the ink were missing. So he said, oh, you see that actually the blades do touch the skin, so therefore, according to all opinions, it would be us, sir.
No,
I'm saying maybe he just touched it. Maybe he didn't even move it around to give the screen a chance to do it. So that's what he claims. According to people who have repeated this experiment, I never repeated this experiment, this is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if that's the case, that there is a chance that the razor could act, that the blade, the rotating blade could actually touch the skin, and that's Mamash razor.
If you're cutting, let's say if you're just simply trimming, you might actually, accidentally, scrape your skin with one of the blades of the scissors.
So the Truma Sadeshan.
But that's obviously not what you're intending to do, and so it's not your,
Right, the Dover Shenu Miskavin, because it's not necessarily going to happen, it's not your intention. But here it could be a psik resha because there's no way that it could be. You could go an entire session of shaving without the blade touching your skin. Some say it's psik resha, since that is the case. So maybe there is more room to be makel. But for that reason, according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the Rav Yerushalayim, he famously said that if you're going to use an electric razor, you shouldn't press it against your skin. You have to make sure that you should be able to feel a little bit of hair left after the electric razor does its job.
Yeah, but,
It's not that the skin is getting stuck up. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe I'm totally making this up. But
it flakes a bit. I get that.
Yeah, just the action of pressing it against your skin could potentially result. Could potentially result in one of the blades actually touching the skin since the screen is so fine. Yeah, but
and also by the way, I mentioned last time. That the whole business about Norelco shavers,
lift and cut, yeah.
It turns out that was investigated carefully by somebody who took a look at their patents.
Right.
Their patents said absolutely nothing about it actually doing lifting and cutting. And also, took engineers and said absolutely impossible for it to happen that way. And so it's just advertising coverage.
Right. So just for the tape, so people know what we're talking about. So the lift and cut shaver is something that Norelco advertises that while the shaver is operating, somehow it lifts the hair up and then it chops it off with
below level.
Right, when it releases the hair, so then it's going to be below the skin level. So that's why some people felt that since that was more razor-like, that it got really down to the skin level. So that's why lift and cut shavers were usser, but all the rest of the shavers were mutter. So many people feel that that's been debunked, and therefore, that's why I spoke also with Rabbi Willig about this. And he says, he agreed with that as well. He says either electric shavers are all mutter or they're all usser. There's no in between. Some are mutter, some are usser.
Sefer Chinuch would hold that they're usser because obviously it's not so.
Oh, absolutely. According to Sefer Chinuch, there's no discussion whatsoever because he holds Misparayim, Kain Tar, that scissors cut down very close and the beard is usser. You're not Chaya Malkus, but it's usher. But some people want to say you're Chaya Malkus with an electric razor because of the Totsah issue, which is that if you do something that's Giluach and you get to a result of Hashkasa, then it's okay. But famously, then it's a problem, sorry, then it's usher. But Rav Moshe Feinstein famously felt that, no, it was Bedavka, that it's only a razor action that was usher. If it's any type of scissors action, then it's okay. The way he used to test electric shavers to see if they were mutter or not, according to his opinion, he would take a beard hair, he would take the blade, he would take it apart, take the blade from the electric razor, and chop off a beard hair, not skin level, far away from skin level, and if the blade was capable of cutting by itself,
the foil, not the blade.
Maybe the foil, yeah.
The foil.
Right, must be the foil, yeah.
The foil, if you could drag the foil turning it on, if you could drag the foil across and
no, it has to be either part isn't capable of cutting by itself. It has to be only by the scissors action.
The foil comes in contact with the skin, not the blade.
No, but if...
So there was,
but I'm saying even if the blade came into contact with its skin, then it wouldn't be able to cut. It would only cut based on its interaction with the foil.
Mm-hmm. All right, possibly, yeah.
Right, so he held that if that was the case, then it was mutter, because that's a scissors action, and it would be mutter in any case. But famously, that's what the American Jewish community relies on. They rely on Reb Moshe that electric shavers are mutter, but a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael are more machmer on this. I mean, plenty of people in America are machmer on this also. But Reb Moshe Feinstein, famously, he wouldn't put anything in writing about this, either to aser it or to matter it. So first of all, in terms of asering it, so it's famous that Reb Moshe would give a haskama to whoever came in to get an approbation for their sefer that they wrote. He was very loose with them, very happy to give and help, except for one sefer, which is called Hadras Panim Zakan, which is a sefer, if you've ever seen it, this fat, which is all about why electric shavers are really aser. And he said he refused to give that haskama. That's the one sefer he refused to give haskama to because he held it was okay. But he also would never put in writing that it was mutter to use an electric shaver because he felt that even though halakhically it was allowed, nevertheless, Jews should really have beards. That Jewish men, obviously, should really have beards. That's what some people put it. I was reading online. I found an interview with Rabbi Aviner from Israel. And he was being interviewed about electric shavers. He was very not so in favor of them, but he quoted, besides the halachic argument, he quoted as a statement of Rav Yoshev. When the people used to come with Rav Yoshev asking for a terem for all these sorts of things, so he would say, it's not an aguna. He said, an aguna for agunos, for potential mamzerim, for a woman whose husband has disappeared and she needs to remarry, or for someone who might be a mamzer and needs to have the stigma of mamzerus removed if he hopes to be remarried. So we have a misora, we have a tradition in halachic decision-making that we try to be as lenient as possible, that we search for any avenue to allow these people to continue on and have normal lives. But he says, regarding these things, when people come to him with ritual questions, so it's not naguna. You don't need to search for all these heterim. That's why he was pushing, again, I'm not saying what, but I'm not, he was pushing that people, what do you need it for? All these shitas hold that it's asur. Anyway, the tzura, the Jewish tzura, the way a Jewish face should ideally be, that's the mesorah for other generations, is having a beard. What, because the goyim decide that it's a style not to have beards? Well, what do you need the tzara of the electric shaver for?
It's okay for Israel, but not okay for Chutzlaoris, because Parnasa requires very often people to shave.
Nowadays, in the olden days, that may be true. Then maybe it would have been an aguna if you wouldn't have been able to get a job unless if you didn't have a beard. But nowadays, the society is so open and liberal. And people accept...
And also beards are back in style.
Right, beards are back in style. Look at, Lahavdil. You have all these people in Brooklyn. Sometimes you walk down the street, you don't know whether they're Hasidish or whether they're hipsters. My point I make, I'm not pushing whether it's us or mutter, but if you have the choice as to whether to grow a beard. So, first of all, why get involved in all the shilas? And the Yiddish Utsura anyway. No, sometimes it is an aguna. That's what I'm saying. I've just quoted
sometimes
that for the interest. You have to understand that there are many issues that in the olden days, aguna and mamzerim will always be an issue. But, I mean, hopefully they won't be in the existing, but if they exist, they'll always be an issue. There's certain issues that in the olden days used to be very serious issues, and nowadays are no longer such serious issues. Nowadays is much more acceptance of beards, so why bother? But and same thing, you could argue, make the same argument with Erevin, for example, that there are in the olden days, if you didn't have an Erev, you couldn't eat hot food on Shabbos because you kept it in the baker's oven. You couldn't get water because you had to draw it from the river. It was much, much more difficult. But if you have, again, I'm not saying which Erev is good, which Erev is not good. That's not my point right now. But the point is, everybody says that with the same thing is here. It's a shaila v'chi of malchus. With an eruv, it's a shaila of an iser skila. If the eruv is not good,
it's a mitzvah to build, make an eruv. It's not a mitzvah to shave your beard.
Correct. But if it's a mitzvah to build an eruv in a place where it's for sure mutter to build an eruv,
all right, fine.
But if you have contemporary metropolitan areas where there's a much, I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no. Don't get off of me all of a sudden. But I'm just saying that there's a. If you have something that's for sure, you have a lot of shilas that didn't exist in the olden days, and it's not as necessary as in the olden days. So in certain, there is a virtue, not to be nervous and to be choshish for every chumrah, but there is a virtue to when there's a lot of shilas surrounding a particular issue, that to take the stringent area when it involves a serious deraisa issue. Yeah.
I understand very much what you're saying about the hot food and the water from the well. and that's a
so women with the babies at home. Yeah, yeah,
stuck
that's
in
true.
The apartment all Shabbos afternoon in the summer. But oh, no.
So the husband should watch the children while the wife goes and takes a walk.
I know.
We went through all of this without any complaints. And
that, just because my grandma didn't have whatever doesn't mean I can't conversation.
So it's a pella also that, you know, the yeshiva bacharim in the olden days, like we were mentioning before, thought it was so important not to have beards because that was a style to look presentable that way. It's you don't again. That was what they felt they
right.
So that's what they felt they needed in those times. Some Rosh Yeshiva feel that we need it nowadays too. But if you why if a yeshiva bachur can have a presentable beard, it's more acceptable nowadays. So why do we have to cater to the goyish styles? This I don't know. My whole point is that certain things nowadays need to be reassessed, and there's no problem with saying that there is a virtue in saying that we can go back to more authentic Jewish types of things if in this situation nowadays. Don't just because we used to go in a more permissible way. Again, chumras and kulas that the community does can change based on the times. Fine. That's my whole point. So we mentioned last time that some of the Gedolim didn't use a razor on their entire bodies because of the Shaila Begadisha. We talked about that last time. But the Shulchan Aruch does say that you shouldn't use a razor on your entire beard. That because there's a whole big Shaila about where exactly the corners of the beard are, so we play it safe and we don't use a razor at all on any part of the beard. Even if there's something that seems to be for sure not one of the payas, you still should use an electric laser if that's mutter, or scissors, or a cream, or whatever. But nohagias b'chol makom v'chol zman bizcharim. Oh, about your point, by the way, about the clippers. Even if you use a clipper, that it can, you could accidentally, shave some hair off with just part of the clipper. So the Trumas Hadeshet actually says, it talks about that situation, and it says you have to keep the moving part as the one that's
On top,
because you have to make sure that you're always cutting with the moving part as opposed to the straight part. But nohagias b'chol makom v'chol zman bizcharim, it only applies to males. V'al hanekevos mutaros b'ashchasas zakan im yesh lehen se'ar b'hen. That a woman is allowed to use a straight razor on her facial hair should she like to do so. The Rush also says, by the way, just to get this in, the Rush says that part of the reason that you shouldn't use a razor on any part of the beard, he says he saw people that thought they were so clever that they kept the hair only on the corners, but they used the razor on the rest of the beard, so they knew where the payas were, but he says they didn't always know where the payas were. So there would be a little hair over here, but really they shaved over here, but they got mixed up. That's another reason that you shouldn't use.
Funny.
Yeah, okay. V'gamim hishchisa ha'isha, zakan ha'ish p'tura, she's exempt from punishment, and the shnas does do it if she shaves a man. V'havadim chayav mashcha zakan, same as we discussed earlier about the slaves, k'moshe k'zav nilamala, that we hold that slaves are forbidden to shave their beards. If someone has uncertain or both genders, then because of the doubt, then they're not allowed to shave the beards, but would not receive the penalty of lashes.